What is going on, everybody? My name is Jay, and this is another sloppy lab work for the Wild Wormhole, and I'm here with Mike this time to do a little little testing in the lab, as I should say, I guess, right?
I guess. You definitely now, could say that.
Yeah. This is a deck from one of our Discord users, and do you remember who it was? I should have looked before we started.
Yeah, this is Banana Crapshoot's deck.
This is Banana Crapshoot's deck. It is called... Wait, no, it's not.
Isn't it? No, I'm pretty sure it is.
All right, let me make sure before we say that. Because I'm pretty sure...
No, it's Sky Jedi's deck.
Yeah, Sky Jedi's deck.
My bad.
That's all right. Thank you for submitting this deck to us, Sky Jedi. We're going to destroy it, maybe. We'll see. we haven't really looked at the cards at all or anything.
No.
So we wanted it to be like, you know, fresh, hot, sloppy... garbage, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the name of the deck is Perez of Browning Caverns. Now we have this up on the YouTube channel as well, so if you're watching, you'll be able to see the cards as we go through, but if you're listening on our RSS feed or the podcast feed, then you can pull it up on the app and follow along with us if you want.
Yeah, the E in Perez, the first E has like an accent over it, so I don't know how that interacts with the search function. So if you just type Browning Cavern Suit, you'll find it.
There you go. All right. So this deck is Brobnar, Logos, and Shadows. So when you hear those three houses, is that kind of the deck you want? Is that the deck you're looking for?
I get excited. I don't know. That sounds like a ton of fun. I'm a big
that
fan
does
of
sound
all
like a good
houses.
Deck.
Yeah. I know Brobnar is one of your favorite houses. It's become one of my favorite houses as well. And then
Yeah,
there's some cool stuff in Logos and Shadows that you can kind of combine together. My hope initially would be that like the Brobnar stuff can control the board well enough to be able to do cool stuff with the Logos and Shadows cards. Because
for sure,
that could be the downside of a deck like this, or a house combo like this, I guess.
Yeah. And I think this might be my favorite three houses, except for Untamed, maybe. Maybe I would rather have Untamed instead of Logos, mm-hmm. but those are my like four favorite houses, I think.
Nice.
It's those four. So I'm happy to see this kind of deck. So let's start off with Brobnar. We'll try to make this quick. Last time I did one, it lasted way too long. So Brobnar, we've got a lot here. We've got first few cards are Anger, Warsong, and Gauntlet of Command.
Nice.
So Anger is play, ready and fight with a friendly creature, which is Amber. Warsong is play for the remainder of the turn, gain one Amber each time a friendly creature fights. And then Gauntlet of Command is an artifact, action, ready and fight with a friendly creature. So right off the bat, you got three cards right there that work together with fighting.
Yeah.
Especially with Warsong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I would hope then, based on those three cards, that there were some good creatures
Monsters.
In this deck to fight with. Yeah.
Yeah, creatures, monsters.
It's always a bummer when you get, you know, like a bunch of those kind of cards and then you have like two Brobnar creatures or whatever. Or like all the creatures that you have kind of suck for fighting.
Or like three Gauntlet of Commands and it's like you have one like Fire Spitter or something like that.
Actually,
so that's the first
with Fire Spitter, that'd actually be pretty sick.
Yeah, you're right. Let's go with one smash.
Yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
You don't get anything from fighting with that guy. Mm-hmm. So, all right, that's the first three cards. Then we got Iron Obelisk. Your opponent's keys cost plus one Amber for each friendly damaged Brobnar creature.
That's a cool card.
This is a rare. This is actually, like you said, this is a pretty cool card. It's not the easiest card for it to be great. But if you have a bunch of creatures on the board and you're doing a lot of fighting like the Brobnar guys like to do, you're going to have some damaged creatures out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it combos good with the Coward's End, so you can have a bunch of damaged creatures, not worry about them dying, stuff like that.
Yeah, sadly, there's no Coward's End in this deck.
No, there's not.
I remember like a really early game that me and you played where I got like an Iron Obelisk out and like... keys cost like plus four or five or something like that. It was pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the hope with it, but it's a card that stays out all the time, and so whenever you have a damaged Brobnar creature, like you're getting the benefit of it. So I actually think this card is really, really good.
Yeah, and it's not one that you have to sacrifice or anything like that. It's mm-hmm. just a constant passive ability.
Yeah.
So, like you said, that's nice to just have at any time that you want.
Yeah, and actually, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but there is a card in this deck that synergizes really well with it, which is Heeb the Huge, who has a play ability, deal 2 damage to each other undamaged creature. So if you get a turn where you can play a few Brobnar creatures and then play him and get some damage on your Brobnar creatures, you can prevent your opponent from forging, which is, you know, everybody knows that's good.
Yep, which is, yeah, really, really sweet. I like that. And then you got Screech Bomb. And another thing I was going to say is that Brobnar doesn't have a ton of, like, messing with your opponent's Amber, which we do have a Screech Bomb about to talk about in a second. But it doesn't have a ton. So having an Iron Obelisk is pretty nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely cool. There's, like, every time I look at Brobnar and every time I play against Brobnar, like, I'm not expecting them to remove my Amber, but then they always do. So I'm learning slowly that may not be the case, but cards like Screech Bomb definitely help.
Which is an Omni artifact, sacrifice, your opponent loses 2 Amber.
Yeah, I mean, super simple effect. You can use it on any turn, just whenever you need it. It's pretty interesting. I like that card, yeah. And then we missed Mighty Javelin up there, which is...
Yep, another artifact. You get Amber for playing it, and it's Omni. Sacrifice, deal 4 damage to a creature, so that's sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so...
You got plenty of ways to deal damage to people.
And all three of these artifacts, like, are always working, sort of. Like, the Screech Bomb mm-hmm. and the Javelin both have Omni, and then the Iron Obelisk is just a static effect, so pretty cool cards there.
Yep, and that's three artifacts for another card we're going to look at in a little while. But that's all of the artifacts and actions. All the others, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 creatures. Now, when you have Anger, Warsong, Gauntlet Command, Iron Obelisk, all that kind of stuff, you want to have creatures, and you definitely do. You got two Fire Spaders, which are 5 power, 1 defense or armor. Before fight, deal 1 damage to each enemy creature. That's sweet. You got 2 of those. So if you have 2 of those out on the board, you're dealing 2 damage to every one of your enemy creatures.
Yeah, having a Gauntlet Command out and then playing a Fire Spitter and being able to attack with it, like, immediately is really, really good. Because there's so many, like, little 1 or 2 power, like, dudes that are super annoying and elusive. And, like, it's a good way to be able to kill them without damaging your own guys.
Yep. You got a Headhunter, fight. Gain an Amber. He's got 5 power.
Solid.
Just, you know, like a staple of what Brobnar is. Fight, get Amber, kill creatures. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We already talked about Heeb the Huge. And then 2 Smash, which I think are extremely good. 5 power, play, stun a creature. I think stunning is really, really solid in this game.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing against some of those Mars guys and they, like... just do all kinds of crazy things.
Yep, definitely. One thing to note is that there's only 2 cards in Brobnar that give you an Amber when you play it in this deck. So that's a little low, but we'll see if the other houses can make up for that.
Yeah, yep. All right, Logos, what we got? You do Logos for us.
All right, so we've got Lab Work, which gives you an Amber and then it allows you to archive a card when you play it. Just super solid. You know, archiving is like one of my favorite effects in the game, so I'm always happy to see a card like that. You can use it to save, you know, like, your important cards for later, or be able to sort of set up bigger turns with the houses that you're gonna draw into. There's just, like, so many ways to use your archives, and I'm very excited by that. Then we have the best card in the game, Wild Wormhole. Everybody knows what that does. Then Anomaly Exploiter, which is an artifact that says action, destroy a damaged creature. I don't think I've ever actually played with this card, but...
I've never played that card before.
That's pretty interesting. It synergizes really well with the Fire Spitters. And the Heeb the Huge. So there's...
Yeah, that's sweet. You fight with a Fire Spitter. Say they have a, like, 11 or 10 power creature.
Mm-hmm.
You fight with the Fire Spitter, now that creature is damaged and you can just destroy it.
Yeah, that's which is really cool. I wonder if there's I'm not seeing any way in Logos to deal, you know, quick damage like that, but Batrone could, because Patron's the next card. It's a 2-power creature that has skirmish, so when you use it to fight, it is not dealt damage in return, and then it has fight, steal one. So you could, you know, attack something with your Bat Drone, steal one from them, and then, you know, finish it off with the Anomaly Exploiter. So that's a pretty cool little combo right there.
And the first two cards do give you an amber when you play them, so that bringing us that curve up a tiny bit far.
Yeah, just a little bit. And like, Bat Drone is great if you can stick, just like being able to steal one, and then, you know, like being able to threaten to use him every turn is really powerful. We got a few more creatures to go over. We've got Doc Bookton, who is a 5-power creature, which is fairly big.
Especially for Logos.
Yeah. And it says reap, draw a card. So very solid effect right there. There's a lot of card draw in this deck that we'll get to. Next, we've got the Ganymede Archivist, who is a 3-power creature. Says reap, archive a card.
He's more archiving. I like that.
Yeah. He's one of my favorites too, actually. On the surface, he doesn't look super powerful, but archiving is just so good. Then, one of my favorite parts about this deck is there's 2 mother, and man, drawing to 8 feels super good when you can, you know, play these at the same time.
And they're beefy.
And 5 power is pretty good. Definitely. Then, we have a really, really interesting creature, the Replicator. He's 2-power and reap, trigger the reap effect of another creature in play as if you control that creature. So it could be your opponent's creature, could be your own creature. You can use this on like the Ganymede Archivist to archive. I don't think Brobnar had any archive stuff.
Or reap stuff. No reap stuff.
That's what I meant. Shadows, we're skipping ahead again, but we've got Nexus, who can reap and use an opponent's artifact. So worst case scenario, if your opponent doesn't have any cards that have reap effects, you do, so you can use your own.
Yeah.
And then we got Skippy Time Hog. This is another really, really cool card. it's a 1 power creature, so not big, but when you play it, your opponent can't use any cards next turn, which that means they can't fight, means they can't reap, means they can't use actions. Super, super good.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I've never actually played with this card since it's a rare, but it's a really cool card.
Yeah, it like I think I have 1 deck with it in it, and like if you do it at the right time, it's like any of those effects, like this Scrambler Storm. I think is the other one.
They can't play cards.
Yeah. Like they can't play actions. It's all about timing. Like controlled weak. There's a bunch of these effects where like if you choose the right time to use that card and use the effect, it can be just insane.
Yeah.
So, and then to finish up Logos, we got 2 more cards. We got Titan Mechanic, who is a 6-power creature. I think he's the most powerful creature in Logos, like power wise. And while he's on a flank, each key costs 1 less. So,
which is sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool in a deck that looks like it's not generating a bunch of bonus amber. You might need it, but your opponent also gets the effects of it, so definitely watch out for that. And then lastly, we have Experimental Therapy, which is a weird card. We've talked about it before on the podcast. It's an upgrade. The creature that you play it on belongs to all houses, and when you play it, you stun and exhaust that creature. So you can use it on your own creatures if you think they're going to stick around, so that you can use them, you know, anytime you call a house, or you can use it on your opponent's creature just to stun and exhaust them. But once they do, ready that creature and then remove the stun, they'll be able to use it on it, you know, any of their turns as well. So
yeah,
there's a lot of skill in who you play this card on.
I think stunning and exhausting is pretty significant when it's not your opponent's turn, because they can't use it that turn since it's exhausted.
Right.
And then the next turn they have to unstun it, and then they can use it.
Yeah, so they're out of commission for at least 2 turns, basically, unless they have another way to remove stuns.
Like Gauntlet Command or something like that.
Right. So actually, like, you could use this on your own creature,
and then Gauntlet Command.
And then go Brobnar, Gauntlet of Command, and remove the stun, and then, anger, and then be able to use it.
Yeah, there's good ways to make this work for sure.
Yeah, so it I like that card in this deck with like specifically with the Gauntlet of Command. So that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right, next up is Shadows. How many? Let's see. We had the Anomaly. That's the artifact. Is that the only artifact we had in that deck?
Yeah, in Logos, that was the only artifact. So
okay, so we're far, up to we got four.
Four. Yeah, four.
All right, Shadows, we got a rare to start off with, Finishing Blow. I've never played this card either, and this is the art on, like, the playmat.
Yeah,
and
they
use a lot and stuff like that.
I just had this played against me last night, and it felt bad.
It gives you an amber, and play destroy damage creature if you do steal one amber. So we've already got a ton of other cards that do, like, damage to creatures, mm-hmm. just, like, a little bit of damage. Like, you can destroy a creature that's damaged. This is another one, what is it, Anomaly Exploiter? Yeah. And then Finishing Blow is another one that it destroys a damaged creature. So we have ways to remove damaged creatures and ways to damage creatures. So I like the little interaction that this deck has with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there's some cards in this house that synergize with that too, which is cool.
Yeah, so you have good potential of getting two amber, mm-hmm. one being stolen, and destroying a creature with this card. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. The other, the one downside to this Finishing Blow being the first card means that there is no bait and switch in this deck.
That is true. But, you know, not every deck needs to have a bait and switch.
Maybe true.
For it to be good. All right, so we got Ghostly Hand. It gives you two amber just for playing it. And then play, if your opponent has exactly one, steal it. And I have a good feeling that you have some decent ways to steal amber, to get them down to one,
mm-hmm.
to make use of this card. One of them being Finishing Blow.
Yeah.
You got Miasma. Miasma is a fantastic card. You get an amber, play, your opponent skips the Forge Key step on their next turn. Can really delay your opponent. It can give you time to win or do something about them winning, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Pawn sacrifice, you get an amber, play, sacrifice a friendly creature. If you do, deal 3 damage each to 2 creatures. I like that. More ways to deal damage to creatures.
Yep, and
so that you can
you also have Bad Penny in this deck, so you can sacrifice your Bad Penny, which mm-hmm. just goes back to your hand, and then you can play it again.
Yep, Bad Penny, Sacrificer, deal 3 damage, player again, Finishing Blow, steal an amber, Ghostly Hand, steal an amber. Alright, so we got Seeker Needle, which also interacts well with Bad Penny. It's a artifact, so we're up to 5 artifacts. Action, deal 1 damage to a creature. If this damage destroys that creature, gain an amber. So that's good with Bad Penny.
Yeah, it's also really good with Finishing Blow. So you just ping 1 damage and then kill him with Finishing Blow.
Yep. Solid. Speed Sigil gives you an amber. The first creature played each turn enters play ready. Another artifact, so that's 6.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is sweet. The only thing that sucks is both of you get it.
Yeah, yeah. I think this deck can use that really, really well, though, with, like, the double Fire Spitter. Like, one of them, like, even just one Fire Spitter, if you have Gauntlet of Command out, like, you play him, he comes in ready, you get to fight mm-hmm. and deal 2 damage, and then you get to Gauntlet of Command and deal 2 more. That's really, really strong.
Yeah.
And it's, like, the other Shadows cards in here, too, it, you know, like, a lot of them will have reap effects, like Nexus, who gets to use an opponent's artifact. So you can just, like, put it into play and then immediately use him.
Yeah.
One of my favorite decks right now has Speed Sigil in it. And, if you have a deck that can take advantage of it better than your opponent, then I think it is a net good card. So,
Yeah. For sure. And, like, so Bad Penny's next. It's 1 power creature destroyed. Return Bad Penny to your hand. I'm not a huge fan of this card. I've not been a huge fan of this card since I've seen it mm-hmm. and played with it. But having Speed Sigil kind of helps what my issue is. My issue is, like, I play her, and then she immediately gets destroyed next turn and just clogs up my hand. Just, like, constantly. And I hate that feeling. And getting Speed Sigil out to be able to play her, reap with her, mm-hmm. and Seeker Needle with her, to get 2 amber out of that, I feel like that helps a lot with the whole situation that I was saying. Because she really does clog up your hand if you don't want to keep having to call shadows.
Yeah, she definitely can. I think that because in this deck you have two mothers, like... It helps, it's like not as much of a worry because like you're going to be drawing a ton of cards anyway, and then you can always archive it with one of your archive cards, or like if you get into a weird situation you can discard it. But I think in this deck like that she's sort of less bad than in some other decks. Decks that have multiple of her, those are the decks where I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, I ain't playing this
like,
trash.
One is the perfect number. Like, if I have three speed sigils and I have one bad penny, that's perfect.
Yeah. Or like the decks that have three seeker needles and one bad penny.
That's one seeker needle and three bad pennies. Yeah, that's like quite a worse exchange.
Yeah. All right, next up is Carlo Phantom. I actually really like this card.
Yeah, he's got elusive, so good.
Yeah, elusive and skirmish. He's only one power, but each time you play an artifact, you steal an amber. So he's hard to remove from the board, except with like direct damage. And he steals an amber every time. You have six artifacts in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
Six.
It's a 12
amber.
So you have
plenty of chances.
Swing. It's pretty big.
I like this card in this deck, and I like it. Just in general, it's a card that I really like.
And two of your artifacts are shadows, so you could play him and then play both of those in the same turn, which is pretty cool.
Yep, for sure. Then you got Nexus, 3-power, elusive, reap, use an opponent's artifact as if it were yours. Silvertooth, 2-power, Silvertooth enters play ready. I really like this guy as well.
Yeah, he's really good.
You want to play him after... You play your first creature, though.
Yeah.
If you have speed sigil out. Because he already comes in ready. I've done that before on, like, the Crucible or something.
You're just like, crap.
So that's potentially two creatures that you can play in one turn.
Yeah, both
and have
ready.
Them both be ready.
Pretty cool.
That's so sick. Urchin, play, steal an amber. Elusive. I like that. He's sweet.
Mm-hmm.
He's just that, you know, soft mitigation that you need. And the last one, Duskrunner. It's an upgrade. This creature gains reap, steal one amber.
That's so
that
good in this deck.
That's so good in general. Yeah, but this deck is even better.
Like on Silvertooth, you get to use it immediately. Like with Speed Sigil, you get to use it immediately. I really, really like that card in this deck.
Is that the same? Is the guy in Duskrunner the same guy as the Finishing Blow? No, I don't think so.
No, slightly different.
They all look very similar.
Mm-hmm.
They all have that
cool, like, you know, like face mask thing with like the shadows logos everywhere.
Yeah, that guy looks cool. Duskrunner is solid, man. Yeah. I like that card, especially with Speed Sigil and Silvertooth, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there you have it. What do you think about this deck? Is this a deck you would like to play?
Yeah, this deck looks super fun. I would be super interested in playing it and seeing how it does. I imagine it would be pretty strong. It has a total of how much amber did we discover that it had? It had two in Brahmar.
First one only had like two. Yeah.
Yeah. Three.
This is good radio.
I know, right? There's only two in Logos also. Shadows is going to be more, obviously. So there's one on Finishing Blow, two on Ghostly Hand, one on Miasma, one on Pawn Sacrifice, one on Speed Sigil, and one on Duskrunner. No, not one on Duskrunner, but there may as well be.
Urchin might as well be one, too.
Yeah, so like, there isn't a ton of just like, you know, regular bonus amber just off the cards that you play, but there is still a lot of opportunities to just play a card and gain amber off it, like through its ability or whatever. So
yeah, like War Song and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of creatures in this deck.
There are
four War Song.
Yeah, there's 19 creatures in this deck, which is
pretty
good.
Sweet. Yeah, and
for a deck like this,
like Logos has 1, 2, 3 guys at 5 or more, 2 mothers at 5, and the Titan Mechanic at 6.
Yeah, so your curve is pretty high when it comes to like the Brobnar and like Logos creatures. like, yeah, you have two 6 power creatures, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 5 power creatures. So it's not bad.
I like this deck. Like, this is a deck that I would play. Yeah. For sure.
And we 100%. We miscounted. There's actually 7 artifacts.
7 artifacts. Yeah. Jeez.
So Carlo Phantom could potentially remove a key from your opponent and give you a key, like +1 Amber, which is real nice.
Well, there you go. There you have it, folks. Maybe we'll play this on the old Crucible Ditty and give it a shot. Yeah, we'll see.
We'll have to.
We will definitely have to. In other words, that's going to be a video. No, I'm just kidding. Don't want to get your hopes up yet. But might have a video of this going up. Yeah, let's see.
Let's do it now.
All right. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Anything you want to say, Mike?
Nah. Thanks for watching, guys. Or listening.
All right, guys. We'll see y'all on the next one.